Okay, good morning, everyone. On this another day the Lord has made, it's now 9 o'clock, and it is June 14th in the year 2020. And we are gathered in the name of Jesus to continue in our Sunday school class, Life Development Contemporary Bible class. We are currently studying, as most of you know, we are in Luke chapter 9. That's where we started on last week, is Luke chapter 9 was our first week. Last week was our first week in the 9th chapter. And we are studying through the entire book of Luke, starting at chapter 1. Our goal is to finish the book in its entirety, all 24 chapters. I encourage you, if you have not read Luke, to read it in its entirety. I encourage you who have been studying with us to go back to chapter 1, or at least back to chapter 4, where Jesus begins his public ministry, because it's all coming together here. And as we progress, you'll be able to see more and more if you go back and read what we've already studied, as well as go forward. I say good morning to each one of you. I'm glad to see you. I hope you had a good week. Some of you may not have had a good week, but we know God is good and he's faithful, and he loves us, and he is with us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus on this another day that you have made. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in Christ, our Savior. We rejoice in the Holy Spirit. We rejoice in the Word of God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your great compassion. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you that you know us and you understand us. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are on the same journey with us. And now we pray, Father, that you would give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to us this morning. We pray that you will speak to each one of us, Lord. Minister to each one of us through your word. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, so today we're continuing with Luke chapter 9. And on last week, as I said, that's where we began our study. Well, we want to start out, we found out on last week that Luke chapter 9 is a transitional chapter. Thus far, we've seen the disciples with the Lord. We've seen the multitudes who are all around Jesus. We noted on last week that there is a distinction between the multitudes. They're always around Jesus. And there's a distinction between them and the disciples. Here now in chapter 9, transitional chapter, we will see the disciples come more and more into ministry. And we're going to see them doing things that we have not seen them do before. Now we ask the question, what is a disciple? Because we are disciples of Christ. If we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've trusted in him as our Lord and Savior. We've repented of our sins and believe that Jesus's blood has paid the price for our sins. One of our many names as believers is disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so since that is one of our names, we need to know what exactly is a disciple. Well, we know that a disciple is a follower of Christ. First and foremost, we follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. And whenever I think of a way, we think of highways and byways, and Jesus is on the move. And our responsibility is to follow him. Well, we can't literally see him with our eyes, but we do have the eye of faith. And, that's why we're called believers, because we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We've never seen the Lord. We've never seen Jesus, but yet we do believe. And we believe that because of faith, the Lord has given us the ability to believe in him. And so we follow him. He has beckoned us to come to him and then to follow him. So what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower, but a disciple is also a learner and a student. We are learning, continually learning. As long as we're on this path, as long as we're on this side of glory, as long as we're here in time, under the sun, on this earth, we will still be learning till our dying day. There's always something else for us to learn. And so as disciples, we're following the Lord Jesus. We're also students of his, and we are also learning. And you will see in Luke chapter 9, yes, the disciples have been with Jesus for some time, but they still have a whole lot to learn. And so do we. We've learned a lot since we've been walking with the Lord, some more than others, depending on how long you've been walking with him. But there is still so much more for each one of us to learn. And so a disciple is a follower, a student, and a disciple is also an imitator. We are to be like Christ, and we are to do as Christ does. And so we're following him that we might learn of him and that we might be like him. And it's not just mental knowledge. You know, it's one thing to read the Bible and to know some facts about the Bible, but we want to know him. We want to know Jesus, and we want to become like him. And that's one reason we're in Sunday school today. The primary reason is that we might know him and that we may be one in him. And so this chapter, chapter 9, has a lot to do with discipleship. Well, let's go to in Luke chapter 9. Before we go there, let's go back to Luke chapter 5. And last week we did do this. We picked up on where Jesus first started calling those disciples. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in review, but as I prepare to go on teaching more and more in chapter 9, it's important right now that we go back. So let's go back all the way back to chapter 4. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. And we see in Luke chapter 4, we found out in verses 1 through 13 where Jesus had been tempted by the devil 40 days in the wilderness. And that happens. Jesus was tempted, and immediately after his temptation in the wilderness, he enters into public ministry. And we see that in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, Luke 4:14, Jesus is in public ministry. He returns in the power of the Spirit, and he goes to Galilee. And then we start seeing the news about him going throughout. And now in verse 15, here's the first act we have of Jesus in his public ministry. It is an act of the word, ministry of the word of God. And it is through the teached word. And Jesus taught in their synagogues. And then verse 16 tells us he went to Nazareth. We know that's his hometown. He's in the synagogue. That was his practice, was to go to the synagogue. Verse 17, he was handed the book of Isaiah. And he begins to read about himself, and he announces his public ministry and tells us what it's all about. Then we go on in chapter 4, and we see Jesus talking and Jesus ministering. And when we go to verse 31, in verse 31, we see Jesus still in the synagogue. He's still teaching, but verse 33 tells us, Luke chapter 4, verse 33 says, now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And so we see Jesus immediately in public ministry now healing a man. This man needed healing. And then we go on to verse 38, and Jesus is healing there. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. So Jesus is ministering all by himself right here in Luke chapter 4. When we go to Luke chapter 5, we see Jesus calling his first disciples, his first followers, his first students. He calls them to himself in Luke chapter 5. And so we first of all see Jesus calling to himself Simon Peter, and we have his name in verse 8, Simon Peter. Then we go down to verse 10, we see James and John. And we also know when you read Matthew and Mark's account that Jesus also, and John's account, called Andrew in there as well. So Peter, James, and John are those first disciples that Jesus called in Luke chapter 5. Now in verse 11 of chapter 5, it says, so when they had brought their boats to land, and that would be Peter, James, and John, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all. This is part of being a disciple, forsaking all and followed him. There's the word, even though it doesn't say disciple, but it does say followed him. That is what disciples of Jesus do. They follow him. And so here's Jesus now beginning to build and beginning to establish and lay the foundation for that which is to come. Jesus, first of all, ministers. Then he calls unto himself disciples, the first disciples, Peter, James, and John, and also Andrew. Then we go to chapter 5, verse 27, where we see there that Jesus calls Matthew, who is called Levi, in chapter 5, verse 27. After these things, he went out, saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him the same thing that he said to Peter, James, and John, follow me. And that's what Jesus is telling us today as well, follow him. And so a disciple is a follower. Well, when we go to chapter 9, let's go back over to chapter 9, which is our home-based scripture right now, Luke chapter 9. When we go to chapter 9, verse 23, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, talking to us as well as to those back then. But this, we are here today and we are disciples of Christ. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he, Jesus, said to them all, if anyone, now when we see the word all, he said to them all, now we know the multitude is around, they're always around, but chapter 9 has to do particularly, specifically with the disciples. Jesus said to them all, whether they're in the multitude or the disciple group, if anyone, that would be the multitudes and the disciples, if anyone, that would be us today, me and you as well, if anyone desires to come after me, these are the things they must do. If anyone desires to come after me, let him. And you can put your name there. Let me, Velma, and let you yourself. What must I do if I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus laid the requirements. If anyone desires to come after him, that's a good desire, but there are requirements. First of all, you must deny yourself. And we all have to do that day by day, learning to deny ourselves. And Lord, your will be done in my life. Primarily, not mine. Your will be done. And so we must deny ourselves. And then we must take up our cross. And everyone, all of us have a cross to bear. No one gets through life without some cross to bear. But what are we supposed to do? Well, take up your cross, whatever our cross is, take it up. Take it up every day. Every day is going to bring different trials, different obstacles in life. But we're on this path with Jesus, and we have denied ourselves, taken up our cross, and then what are we to do? The same thing that he told Peter, James, and John, the same thing that he told Matthew, he's telling us today, follow him. And then we go on to the last part of Luke chapter 9. Let's go over to Luke chapter 9, verse 57, and we're going to see this word again, follow. This is what it's about in discipleship, following Jesus. So Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, now it happened as they journeyed, as they journeyed. That's the way Jesus, the road, this journey that we are on, following Jesus. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And that's somebody who was in the group following along on the road. And this person says, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And then verse 58 says, Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, which was Jesus' favorite title for himself, he most commonly called himself the Son of Man. And no one else in scripture called him that. Only Jesus used that title about himself, and I'll teach on that someday, more on what that means. So Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, Jesus is letting us know, oh, you want to follow me? Well, this journey is not always easy. It's not an easy journey all the way. And so he's letting this person know, well, you're going to be in for quite a trip if you want to follow me. But that's still what he requires. Verse 59, then he said to another, follow me. And this is someone Jesus called them. And Jesus told whoever this was, follow me. And then it says, but he said, Lord, let me first go do this and that. Well, Jesus didn't say, go do this and that. He said, follow me. And this person said, well, Lord, yeah, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. And you would say, well, that's a worthy thing. His father had died. But Jesus said to him, verse 60, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And so that person had to immediately take up his cross. Even though his father had passed, he wanted to go see about burying his father. But Jesus had called him at that time to follow me. And so that lets us know when Jesus says, follow me, he means for us to follow him, deny ourselves. That man had to deny himself. He wanted to bury his father. That's a good thing. But he had to deny himself. He had to take up his cross and follow Jesus. Verse 61, another one also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first. There it is again. See, that's where we have to deny ourselves. I would do this. I would pray. I would go to Bible study. I would tell somebody about Jesus, but let me first. And so we have to continually deny ourselves, take up our cross daily. Verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. So see, that's another family issue there. And that sounds good. I mean, yes, you want to tell people, bye, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to follow Jesus. But when Jesus says, follow me, he means right then and right there. Verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, we can't go back. Don't look back when Jesus is calling us, take up your cross, deny ourselves, go forward, following Jesus. We can't live in the past. We can't continually look back. It's follow Jesus and he will be our sufficiency. And so we see this chapter is full of discipleship. Well, today, our scripture for today is Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And that's what I put on the invitation that I sent you. And I'll try to do that every week, what we'll actually be studying. So Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Now, let me also say, when you go to the end of the Gospels, I don't know if it's at the end of each of the Gospels, but I know at the end of John, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, and Peter is wondering, well, what's going to happen to John? And Jesus tells Peter, don't you worry about John. You follow me. And that's how that gospel ends. Jesus is still saying, follow him. Well, when we look at Luke chapter 9, our study for today, verses 1 through 6, and also verse 10. And we'll come back and pick up the other verses at a later date. So let's read Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now let's skip down to verse 10. And verse 10 says, and the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And so that ends our reading for the day of the scripture we'll actually be looking at closely. Now we saw on last week, as I noted last week, but I'm going to say it again today, chapter 9, verse 1. And there's a dot to dot here. You know, dot to dots. When we were kids, we have dot to dot, and there would be dots. And you would go and you would trace those dots. And when you got them all together, it formed a picture. Well, first of all, in chapter 9 of Luke, verse 1, it says he called. First of all, Jesus called. And I recommend it last week in your Bibles that you circle these things. You don't have to, but it would be good to do it. So first of all, he called. And that's where it starts as being a disciple. It was Jesus who called Matthew. It was Jesus who called Peter, James, and John. He said, follow me. And so he was calling those people at the end of chapter 9. But they said, let me first go do this and that. Whereas, if you remember, with Peter, James, and John, when Jesus called them, they immediately forsook all. They left all the fish. They left Zebedee, the father. They left their jobs, their occupations, their staff. They left everything and followed Jesus. And so chapter 9, verse 1, first of all, Jesus calls. And then we see after he called, we see also in verse 1, he gives. He called and then he gave. He called and then he gave. Well, who did he call? He called the 12 disciples together. Now, the multitude is around. We know that. They're always around. But now chapter 9 has to do with these disciples explicitly. So Jesus calls the disciples together and then he gave them. And then we saw in verse 2, after he calls them, after he gives to them something that they need, verse 2 says he sent them. He's going to send them. So he calls, he gives, and then he sends. But as he sends, and even before he sends them, up, before you go, verse 3, he must teach them. They need to know something else. And so he calls, he gives, he sends them, but not before verse 3, saying to them, yes, he's going to send them, but first he must give them some further instruction, disciples, learning, students. And so verse 3, he said to them. And so Jesus does the calling, Jesus does the giving, Jesus does the teaching in verse 3. Verse 2, Jesus does the sending. And then we see in verse 6, so they, and only after the other has been done first, only after Jesus has truly called, only after Jesus has truly given, only after Jesus has truly instructed by saying, and then Jesus truly sending, verse 6, so they departed. They had every right to depart. They could make it. They could go all the way because Jesus is the one that had equipped them. And so they departed and then they went. They went because Jesus, verse 2, sent them. Some just go. They haven't been sent, but they went. There's a lot of people who go, but they haven't really been sent by the Lord. And so Jesus sent them, verse 6, verse 3, he equips them. And then verse 6, they departed and they went. And then we get to verse 10. And these are the things you should be circling. And in verse 10, they returned. And it says in verse 10, and the apostles, when they had returned. And so our key words here, New King James Version, I'm teaching from, he called, if you're circling your words, he called, gave, verse 2, sent. Verse 3, said. Verse 6, they departed and went. And then you come on down to verse 10, they returned. And they returned. And so we see now Jesus here working with his disciples. But for the first time here, we're going to see in Luke chapter 9, the disciples, they've never had to do anything. They've been following Jesus. Yes, that's very important. Jesus is the one who's been ministering. Jesus is the one who's been healing the sick. He's the one who's been doing all the teaching. He's the one who's been doing all the preaching. Up until this chapter, Jesus has been doing all the work. But now he's multiplying his work, and he's beginning to train up others who have been doing what? Following him. They've been observing. They've been looking at him. They've been listening, and they've been learning. Remember those three words I've been given most every week now: look, listen, and learn. That's what they have been doing. But now it's like, uh-oh, out of the classroom, out of the laboratory, and now into the field. Jesus is going to send them into the field. Now, one example that I thought of was as I was preparing the study is, you know, you can learn, you can read a book. You can read, I like recipes, I like cookbooks. You can read all the cookbooks in the world. You can read all the recipes. You can read all the how-to books. But until you really do it, it's a whole different thing. It's one thing to read how to have a happy family, how to make a lot of money, how to build a house, how to bake a cake. You can do all of that, read it all. But there comes a point you have to do what? Get into the field and do it. And so now Jesus is, he's sending them forth into the field. All the things that they have been looking at, listening, learning from chapter 5 all the way through chapter 8, now he's going to send them forth into the field. Now these first 6 verses here, Luke chapter 9, and when you're studying scripture, you know, I look at every word, all the punctuation and everything. And there's 3 different divisions I can see here in these first 6 verses, and also verse 10. In verse 1 and verse 2, I see, now these are my subtopics here. It's an extension of his ministry. Jesus is extending his ministry. That's in verses 1 and 2, an extension of Jesus's ministry through the disciples. And then in that's 1 and 2, Jesus' extension of ministry. And then verses 3 through 5, Jesus gives further instruction. In verses 3 through 5, Jesus gives further teaching, further instruction. Even though they had already heard a lot from Jesus, they needed more instruction for this particular field trip that they're getting ready to go on to. I also thought of practice teachers, those who are in college and was studying to become teachers, and some of you have done that. And then you would go into the classroom and practice teaching. And this is what the disciples are doing, going into the field. And so Jesus is extending his mission in verses 1 and 2. In verses 3 through 5, Jesus is giving instruction, further instruction to the disciples. But then we see in verse 6 and verse 10 that the disciples actually do. They go, and they do what Jesus said. Now, when I said that, I thought of the Great Commission, because Jesus has commissioned us today as his disciples, Matthew 28, that we are to go as well. He is still commissioning different ones, us, into the field. And so Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6 and verse 10 has these 3 subtopics. The first of all, verse 1 and 2, Jesus extending his ministry. Verses 3, 4, and 5, Jesus giving further instruction. Verse 6 and verse 10, they go. So they departed and went. They go. And then we go to verse 10, and they returned. And it says in verse 10, and the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. So they go and they did. And that's why we have the word done. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. Well, let's go back to Jesus' mission statement. That's all the way back to Luke chapter 4. So let's go back to chapter 4 because Jesus is extending his ministry. And that's what we're supposed to, even today, don't get away from Luke chapter 4. This is part of the ministry, even today. Luke chapter 4, Jesus is given his mission statement in verse 8, starting at verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And then we see the mission. It is to preach. It's always centered around the word of God. To preach what? The gospel to who? To the poor. He has sent me. Now notice, he has sent me. So this is Jesus talking. Jesus also is an apostle. He is the apostle. That is one of his names. Jesus the apostle. And you can find that in Hebrews chapter 3. And don't turn to it now, but write it down. Hebrews chapter 3, I believe it's verse 1. It is verse 1, where he's called the apostle and high priest of our confession. So Jesus, too, is the apostle. He was sent. And he tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit, Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, Father, is upon me, the Godhead, the Spirit of the Lord. I'm empowered by God, anointed by the Spirit, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me. There's that word apostle. There's that word apostle. Apostleship has to do with being sent on behalf of another. So Jesus came because the Father sent him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Father sends Jesus to do what? Father sent me. Disciple, Jesus, apostle. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And that's what we're to be doing today, is caring about people in the way that God has told us to do it. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclamation, the word of God, proclaim liberty to the captives. That's the work of the enemy. To proclaim liberty, setting the free to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim, there's that word again, the ministry of the word of God, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. And we saw chapter 4, Jesus announcing his mission, giving his mission statement. Luke chapter 5, Jesus calls others to come alongside and he begins to train them. Chapter 6, Jesus is doing miracles, starting in chapter 4, healing, doing what he said he was going to do, doing what he had been sent to do. Chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. Now let's go to chapter 8, because in chapter 8, and I'm going fast because I want to cover everything I want to cover today. In Luke chapter 8, we saw that Jesus, his love for mankind, his love for humanity, his compassion for humanity, he came to reverse what the enemy had done, the result of sin. Hence, we saw in Luke chapter 8, Jesus as Lord, Lord over nature. He has power over nature, power over demons, power over sickness, power over death. Now we get to Luke chapter 9, and the disciples have been watching this all along. So now let's look closer at Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. This is on the job training. They are sent forth. Jesus is going to send them forth. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together. He called his 12 disciples together. All right. Now, I recommend you, I think I said it last week, go through chapter 9. And I don't care how you do it. You could check mark, put a little dot, use a separate sheet of paper, and follow everything about the disciples from Luke chapter 9. Their attitudes, their motives, their words, their actions. Just get into the mind of the disciple, okay? Now in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 here, First of all, Jesus called these 12 disciples. It is he who called them. They did not, first of all, call him. So let's go back to chapter 6. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. And Luke chapter 6, verse 13 says, and when it was day, well, let me back up again to verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. So important, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray. He went to pray. Who is he praying to? Jesus, God. God the Son is praying to God the Father. God the Father is the one who has sent him forth. And so Jesus is praying to God. And he prays, continues all night in prayer to God. And then it tells us in verse 13, and when it was day. So he prayed all night. But when the daytime came, verse 13, when it was day, he called. Jesus called his disciples to himself. Now keep in mind, Jesus has prayed. And we don't know exactly what he prayed. That's none of our business. We're not to know. Prayer is a private thing between you and the Father. But Jesus prayed to his Father, and I could imagine, this is my imagination, and he's receiving from the Father what to do, who to call. So it says immediately the next day, he called his disciples to himself. So he calls these group of people, his disciples, to himself. And from them, so we see there's other disciples, but from the disciples, he chose 12. Foundation, he chose 12. So we're talking about the 12 disciples in Luke chapter 9. And where did those 12 first come from? Well, Luke chapter 6, verse 13, he chose 12. And those 12, he also named them apostles. And then we have their names in verses 14 through 16. But I want you to see here in verse 13, Jesus called, had many disciples. There were some other disciples, but from those, that group of disciples, we don't know how many there were, but from that group, he chose 12. And so we see that in Luke 6, 13. And let's go to Luke chapter 8. Let's go over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And it says, now it came to pass. The story goes on. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village. Jesus, he's going through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 again, were with him. So we don't know where the other disciples were. They're disciples. There's others around. But we're focusing in, zooming in on the 12. And the 12 were with him. Then we go on over to chapter 9, because chapter 9, here we see the 12. These are some more dot to dots. And, you know, Luke is full of them. The Bible is full of them. So we saw in Luke chapter 6, the 12. He chose the 12. Luke chapter 8 that we just read, the 12 were with him. Then we get to Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples. He called those 12 disciples. Now, when I was studying and preparing, I said, well, let me see how Luke chapter 9 starts out. So let's go to, let's go over to 10. Luke chapter 10. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 1, that's not our study for today, but I'm just bringing it out. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 says, after these things, after chapter 9, the Lord appointed 70. Here comes another group he's bringing in. But the 12 is the foundational group. But chapter 10 lets us know, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them. Like in chapter 9, he sends the 12. But he's got some more. It's going to take more than the 12, but the 12 are foundational. Chapter 10, we see him calling 70 others and sending them. And then this morning I said, well, let me see what chapter 11 says. So let's go over to Luke chapter 11. And chapter 11, verse 1 says, chapter 11, verse 1, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so the disciples, that inner group, the 12 there, it doesn't say the 12 there, and I have to keep reading more to see is that just the 12. But we see here in Luke chapter 11, linking up disciples. So let's go back to Luke chapter 9. We have about 15 minutes. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And so we see chapter 9, verse 1. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples. Now I want to spend a little time with the word 12. The number 12 is a very significant number in Scripture. Most everyone who's been in Bible study for any length of time knows that the number 7, you know, the number 7 is the number of fullness. It's the number of completion, perfect completion, the number 7. But the number 12 has great significance as well. 12 is the number of government. 12 is the number of order. And you can think of, if we had time and we could unmute, we could say, well, what 12s do you think of? Well, immediately, if you think about it for a moment, 12, the number 12, well, your mind would go back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, let's think of the number 12. We think of what? The 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. But even when you think of the 12 tribes, you think of a lot of people when you think of tribes. So let's go back. Well, how did the 12 tribes of Israel come to pass? Well, let's go all the way back to Abraham, Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Abraham, the great patriarch Abraham. And one of his titles is Father. That's another study, another day. Abraham. Then Abraham had a son, promised son, Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. Abraham, these are the patriarchs. When you read in the Bible, you see the word patriarchs. These are the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, then comes Jacob. And then God changed Jacob's name to Israel. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And Jacob had those 12 sons. You all remember? 12 sons. Later on, he had more. But he had those foundational 12 sons. Now, there's, you know, you see something happening here. Old Testament, 12 sons. And from the 12 sons, those 12 sons are the patriarchs. The first son was Reuben, and then Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Dan, and all these 12 tribes, the 12 tribes. And then the 12 sons, the 12 sons. And from the 12 sons, what happened? They multiply, and you get the 12 tribes. 12 is the government number, order number. God is establishing order. And in the Old Testament with Israel, he started out with those 12 sons from whom came the 12 tribes. Now, Jesus is the carpenter's son. We know that. We've heard that. Jesus, the carpenter's son. And Jesus has said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And that's what Jesus is doing here, starting to do here. Even right here in Luke chapter 9, building as it was in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. From Israel came the 12 sons, the patriarchs, and from those 12 sons came the 12 tribes. Now we're in the New Testament, same thing, but we're in the New Testament, but it's a different group of 12 now. It's the 12 disciples. And these 12 disciples, because Jesus, he's going to leave. We know that. He has to go back to his Father. He came to do a work. He called people to continue his work when he goes back home, when he went back home to the Father. And so these 12 disciples, these 12 apostles, they are the foundation here. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone, but there's a foundation. And here we are years later, still talking, being built upon that foundation. So Old Testament, the 12 patriarchs, the 12 sons, the 12 tribes, New Testament, the 12, Jesus, the chief cornerstone, and from whence comes the 12 disciples who are called apostles. All right. So let me show you scripture for that, because I'm just not making this up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. If we go over to Ephesians chapter 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2. We have about 10 minutes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to start at 19 so we can get the entire sentence. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. There's some of our names there as believers. Verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles. Then he brings in another group, and prophets, but we're dealing with these apostles today, having been built on the foundation. Those 12 disciples are the foundation, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together grows. That's, you know, born again. With each born again believer, the building is growing. It's a living building. And you can't join the true church. You cannot join the true church. You can join a local church, but you can't join the true church. You have to be born into it, born again. And from that, the body grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And so we see the apostles, those 12 disciples, they are foundational. Old Testament, the 12 patriarchs, the 12 patriarchs, the 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes. New Testament, Jesus, the chief cornerstone, calling the 12 disciples. But I have to mention, we know what happened to one of those 12, Judas. We know Judas did what? He betrayed the Lord. Judas was a devil. Jesus said that himself. I chosen 12 of you, and one of you was a devil. So Judas, we know what happened to him. He betrayed. He was the betrayer. And Judas had to be replaced. So let's make sure we get that 12th person. So let's go over to Acts, the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And when we go to Acts, some of you know this, others do not. So it's important that I say it while we're studying it. We all need to be reminded. Acts chapter 1, when we go to Acts chapter 1 at the very end, and I recommend when you have time, read all of Acts chapter 1, because the mission statement of the church is continuing forth in Acts chapter 1. Okay, in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. And then he goes on and he's naming the disciples. And then he goes on, verse 17, for he was numbered with us. Okay, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Let me start over. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. So there we see more disciples, but the 12 are the foundation. And at this point, Judas is dead. Okay, altogether, the number of them, of names, was about 120, and said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. And then it goes on. You read it when you have a chance, but let's go on over. Because of time, let's go down to verse 21. And they're looking at the end of verse 20, let another take his office. So someone has to fulfill, so this foundation will be sure, someone has to fill up Judas's place. Verse 21, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time, You all see that? These men who have accompanied us all the time. That's part of those other disciples that were around Jesus. These men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out. When Jesus was going here and there, there was the 12, there was the women, and there were other disciples as well. And then we go on, verse 23, they selected two men. They selected Joseph called Barsabbas, who was named Justice, and the other man was Matthias. And then we go to verse 26, and verse 26 says, and they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So Matthias is number 12. And now we have government order. Someone's got to fill that 12th position, and the 12th disciple, now apostle, is Matthias. So we saw in the Old Testament, the 12 tribes, the 12 sons, the 12 tribes. New Testament, government, order, structure, foundation, Jesus, chief cornerstone, the 12 disciples. But let's go over to the eternal order. Let's go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Let's go all the way over to Revelation. Revelation. And when you go to Revelation chapter 20, 21, let's go to 21. And this is something else you could do. This is why I always make copies of what I study, because I mark and trace and all kind of things, and circle all the 12s that show up, all these number 12s. Well, in Revelation chapter 21, we have 4 minutes. Revelation chapter 21, we see in verse 12, and there's a lot of 12s in Revelation 21. There's a lot of multiples of 12 all throughout the Bible, always representing government in some form. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Also, she had a great, now we're talking about the new, let's go back, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So we're talking about the new order, a new in the eternal realm, 12 will still continue. So let's go to verse 12. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes. There it is, Old Testament, the 12 tribes, even in the eternal realm, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then we go down, verse 13, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three gates on the west. And someday we'll be there, as Jesus is our Savior. Verse 14, now the wall of the city, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There it is, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so we see now the Old Testament group, the people of God, the 12 tribes, and Revelation is dealing with the eternal order, but the 12, the people of God from the Old Testament, beginning with those 12 patriarchs, New Testament, the 12 apostles, Judas replaced by Matthias. Then we get to the new order, New Jerusalem, new heaven, new earth. And we see the 12 tribes in verse 12 and verse 14, the 12 foundations. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so our time is almost up. It's 9:53. So I got 2 minutes. So let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Jesus here now extending his ministry. What he did, now he's commissioning the 12 disciples to do, to lay the foundation of the church. Those 12 are foundational. And here we are today, still building on that foundation, learning from them, but they are foundational, okay? And so we say that in 1 and 2, 1 minute here. I have 1 minute. So verse 3 and 4, we'll pick up next week. Well, I've got more to say in 1 and 2. So 1 and 2, we'll see Jesus telling them what to do. And he says, and you can unmute yourself if you want to say a word here. Jesus is telling them to do then, and he's telling us to do now. Do what I do. Say what I say. Don't change the program. Don't change the plan. He laid it out. Do what he said. And if we do what he said, because I think a lot of it, we've gone too far. Get back to what he said we were to do. So that's our lesson for today. Lord willing, on next week, we'll pick up with Luke chapter 9, and we will go for it. Okay, everyone? So anyone have a quick amen? Because it's 9:55. If not,
amen.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So you all keep reading in Luke chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 3 was where Jesus is the apostle. Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you for calling us and then equipping us. And we're in study today so we can be equipped and so we can know how it is to be done. And one of the chief words we're going to see, he gave them power, and we are to have power today. If we do it your way, we still, the church still has power. Be with us through this week. Keep us in your care till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 God bless you all. Hope to meet with you on Zoom next week.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye, God bless.
Thank you, Vilma.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank
everyone.
You.
Bye-bye.
I'll be praying for you.
Everyone.
You all pray for me.
Amen. Praying. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.